الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، تسجيلات دار السنة السلفية في لندن يسرها أن تقدم لكم هذه المادة. نسأل الله عز وجل أن ينفع بها الإسلام والمسلمين.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. ثم أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. كنا تحدثنا في لقاء البارحة عن الأخوة الإيمانية، المحبة في الله عز وجل، ورأينا أنها من الأمور الميسرة والسهلة لمن يسرها الله عز وجل له، وأنها عامة شاملة تكون بين الإخوة الذين لا قرابة بينهم ولا صلة، وبين الإخوة الذين هم من أهل القرابة، بين الأخ وأخيه من أمه وأبيه، وبين الأخت المسلمة وأختها المسلمة، لأن النساء شقائق الرجال، وتكون بين الرجل وزوجته، وبين الابن وابنه، وهي من الأمور اليسيرة والسهلة كما قلت لكم لمن يسر الله له ذلك. يبقى أمر في المحبة في الله أنه يعلم من أحبه. إذا أحب شخص آخر يعلمه بهذه المحبة. كان رجل من صحابة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم جالسا عند رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، فقال: يا رسول الله، إني أحب فلانا، يعني شخص آخر أحبه. فقال له النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: أأعلمته؟ يعني هل أخبرته بذلك؟ قال: لا. قال: فأعلم، يعني اذهب إليه وأخبر أنك تحبه في الله. فذهب إليه فأخبره بذلك، فقال له ذلك الرجل: أحبك الله الذي أحببتني له، وفي رواية: من أجله. فسر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بذلك، ثم قال لذلك المحب: أنت مع من أحببت. إذن من أحب شخصا فليعلمه وليقل له: إني أحبك في الله، ثم يرد عليه بأنه أحبك الله الذي أحببتني له أو من أجله.
In the name of Allah, the most beneficent and the most merciful, we begin. All praise due to Allah, the Lord of the universe, and may the peace and salutations be upon the best of Allah's creation. To proceed, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We discussed in our previous meeting yesterday about the brotherly love in Allah's sake, for Allah's sake. And also we mentioned that it is from the easy affairs for whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made easy for. And also it is from the comprehensive and general affairs which takes place between the brothers that have no kinship amongst them. And likewise also those who have kinship and have ties or have relationship between each other, such as the brother and his a blood brother and his other brother, and also the Muslim sister and her sister. And this is due to because the women are partners of the men. And also between the man and his wife, and the man and his son. And also it is from the easy affairs, as we have mentioned. Now there's one issue that is remaining, which is in regards to the love of Allah or the love of one another in the sake of Allah. And this issue is, or this affair is, that the person lets the other person that whom he loves for the sake of Allah, he lets him know that he loves him for Allah's sake. So if a person loves another person for Allah's sake, then he should let him know. A man from the companions of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam was once sitting near the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said to him, "O Messenger of Allah, indeed I love so and so," yani another person. So the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he asked him, "Did you let him know?" He said, "No." So the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied to him and he said, "You should let him know, or you should do so." Then the man went to that person and he told him. He said to him, "I love you for the sake of Allah, or I love you for Allah's sake." Then this person, the man who was told this, he replied and he said, "May the one whom you loved me for love you." So the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam became pleased with this. And then he said to the man who asked him in the first place, he said to him, "You are with those whom you love." So when the person loves another person, he should let him know of the way he feels towards him. And the person who is told this, he should reply by saying, "May the one whom you love me for love you."
ثم إننا سنتحدث الليلة إن شاء الله تبارك وتعالى عن علامات محبة العبد لإخوانه المؤمنين من عرف منهم ومن لم يعرف. وإذا قلنا من عرف منهم ومن لم يعرف أصبح المجال واسعا ولله الحمد والأجر كبير. ربما تعلم أن هناك أخا لك في الله عز وجل ليس في مدينتك وليس حتى في الدولة التي أنت فيها، فما هي علامات المحبة بين المؤمنين؟ كيف يحب العبد للمؤمنين ما يحبه لنفسه؟ هذا أول شيء، كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه، يعني أن يحب أن يكون له من الخير ما للمتحدث نفسه، ما للمحب نفسه، يعني أن تتمنى أن يكون لك من الخير الشيء الكثير، وتتمنى أن يكون لإخوانك المؤمنين ذلكم الخير. ونريد أن نأتي إلى نقطة بسيطة، لا كما تقول بعض الفرق، فرق الضلال، في قول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: لا يؤمن أحدكم. بعضهم ينفي الإيمان عنه بالكلية، وهذا لا يجوز، ومعنى أنه لا يكون كامل الإيمان، لا يكون كامل الإيمان، يعني يكون عنده إيمان ولكن لا يكون إيمانه كاملا حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه. ونأتي إلى تعريف بسيط، ما أدري أطلته اللي إذا كان فيه طبعا. نأتي إلى تعريف الإيمان عند أهل السنة والجماعة، لأن هناك فرق خالفت أهل السنة والجماعة في تعريف الإيمان. يقول أهل السنة والجماعة: الإيمان قول باللسان، كأن تقول أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمد رسول الله، هذا نطق باللسان. واعتقاد بالقلب بالجنان، تعتقد ما نطقته بلسانك تعتقده في قلبك، يعني أن تطبق معنى الكلام الذي تقوله معتقدا إياه في قلبك. وعمل بالجوارح والأركان، يعني مع النطق ومع الاعتقاد عمل، لا بد من العمل، يزيد بالطاعة وينقص بالعصيان. هذه الأركان في تعريف الإيمان عند أهل السنة والجماعة: قول باللسان، واعتقاد بالجنان بالقلب وعمل بالأركان يعني بالجوارح يزيد بالطاعة وينقص بالعصيان. هنا لا يؤمن أحدكم أي لا يكون كامل الإيمان حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه، لا ننفي عنه الإيمان مطلقا.
Now, after that, we'll speak about in the lesson of tonight about the signs of the love of the slave to his believing brothers, and this is in regards to those whom he knows and those whom he does not know. And when we say this, that about the people that he knows and the people that he does not know, the affair becomes widespread and becomes general, and the reward becomes large. Maybe you know a brother that whom you love for the sake of Allah, or a brother for the sake of Allah, and he's not in your city, or he does not maybe even live in the same country as you. So what are the signs of the love for Allah's sake, and how does the person love for the believers that which he loves for himself? As the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in a narration, none of you should believe except when he loves for himself, or except when he loves for his brothers what he loves for himself. Meaning that the person, when he loves good for himself and he loves khair, he also the speaker, or the one the person who's speaking, when he loves good for himself, then he should also love it for his brothers. Meaning that when you wish for good things, you should also wish it for your brothers likewise. And we'll come to an important issue here, and it is not like the people of misguidance or the groups of misguidance. They say in the explanation of this hadith, they say when the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said none of you shall believe, they deny and they reject that the person is a believer. Reject or they negate the faith from him altogether. And they negate the faith from this person, so he's not a believer anymore. They take the hadith to mean that this person is not a believer anymore. They negate the faith from him. However, this is not permissible. This type of interpretation is not permissible. But the meaning of this is that the person, or the meaning of that statement of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is that the person does not have the perfect iman, does not have the complete faith. And his iman does not become complete until he loves for his brothers that which he loves for himself. Then after that, we come to the definition of faith according to Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, because there are groups who oppose them in the definition of Iman. So Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, they define Iman as statement with the tongue. Statement with the tongue, meaning that when a person, for example, says "Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah," he utters these or this statement with his tongue. وَاعْتِقَادُ بِالْقَلْبِ, and to have the firm belief in the heart, to have the firm belief of that which he utters with his mouth, he has the firm belief in his heart. وَعَمَلُ بِالْجَوَارِحِ, and to carry out the actions which this faith necessitates with the limbs. Yes, so with the uttering of the statement with the tongue and this the firm belief in the heart, the person also should carry out these with his limbs. And it increases with obedience, iman, to continue with the definition, increases with obedience and decreases with sinning or disobedience. So these are the pillars of iman, or these are the pillars of or the definition of iman according to Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. So the statement of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he said la yu'min ahadukum, that none of you shall believe, the meaning of this is that his iman will not be complete. His iman will not be perfect and not complete. And it does not mean that you negate iman altogether from him.
أيضا من علامات محبة العبد لإخوانه المؤمنين عيادة مرضاهم، إذا مرض عاده. وعيادة المريض فيها من الأجور ما لا يعلمه ولا يحصيه إلا الله تبارك وتعالى، شيء قد لا يكلفك الكثير، ولكنه فيه من الأجور ما الله به عليم. جاء في الحديث الصحيح عن علي بن أبي طالب رضي الله تعالى عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: من عاد مريضا غدوة، في الغداء في الصباح، صلى عليه 70,000 ملك حتى يمسي، ومن عاد مريضا عشية صلى عليه 70,000 ملك حتى يصبح. هذا من فضل الله عز وجل في زيارة المريض، وكم فيها من الأجور الكثيرة، وهي لا تكلف بفضل الله عز وجل، وإنما تحتاج إلى أن يتفكر الإنسان في الأجور التي سيحصل عليها. ولا يلزم أنه إذا عادني يعني زارني أعوده، وإذا لم يزر لا أعوده، وإنما الزيارة تكون لله ومن أجل الله تبارك وتعالى.
نعم. Likewise, our noble brother Abu Hatim al-Afzalmi said, from the signs of the love of the slave to his believing brothers is to visit the sick ones from them. So when a person is sick or ill, he should visit him. And the visiting of the sick has a lot of reward, which only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can keep record of. And it does not cause the person any hardship, or does not cause the person a lot. It has been narrated in an authentic hadith on the authority of Ali bin Abi Talib, may Allah be pleased with him, that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whosoever visits a sick person in the morning time, 70,000 angels send peace and salutations upon him until he reaches night time. And whosoever visits a sick person in night time, then 70,000 angels ask for peace and blessings upon him until the next morning. So this is from the virtue and the blessing of Allah Azza wa Jal in regards to visiting the sick. And also, how much reward does the visiting the sick hold? And it does not cause cost the person any much. However, it requires the person to ponder over the reward which comes out from this action. And also, it should not be like, only if he visits me, then I will visit him, I will return his visit. Rather, it should be for Allah's sake only.
وكذلك اتباع جنائزهم، يعني إذا مات المؤمن تبع أخوه المؤمن جنازته، وكم في ذلك من الأجور العظيمة أيضا. فقد جاء عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه من صلى على جنازة فله من الأجر قيراط، ومن تبعها حتى تدفن كان له قيراط، في حديث عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها. ولذا يقول عبد الله بن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما، لقد فرطنا في قراريط كثيرة. ومن هو عبد الله بن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما؟ لذا ينبغي مثل هذا الأمر أن يحرص عليه المسلم، ما لم يتعارض معه مع مصلحة لا سبيل إلى الخلاص منها.
نعم. Our brother and teacher Abu Hatim, may Allah preserve him, he said, likewise also following or attending the funeral of one another. So when the believer, he passes away, then his believing brother should attend his funeral and follow it until it is buried. And how much reward does this action also hold? On the authority of Aisha, from the hadith of Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whosoever attends the funeral prayer, then he has a qirat in reward, that which is equivalent to a great mountain. And whosoever follows it until it is buried, then he has another qirat, another reward which is equal to a great mountain. Abdullah ibn Umar says regarding this, may Allah be pleased with him, he said, how many qaraita, how many mountains of reward we have wasted. And this is Abdullah ibn Umar, may Allah be pleased with him. So upon the Muslim is to strive into attending the funerals of his brothers, as long as it does not cause any difficulty for him. So if, for example, if he has some things to do which he cannot get out of, then there's no harm. But if he's able, then he should do it.
نضيف إلى ذلك أن المتبع للجنازة يتأمل في المصير المحتوم الذي سيصير إليه، وربما يكون هو المحمول الثاني على الأعناق ليذهب به إلى قبره، فتكون فيه عظة، يتذكر مصيره، ويرى عندما يدفن أخوه المسلم أخوه المؤمن، يتذكر كيف لو كان هو؟ ما هي الأعمال التي قدمها لذلك المكان الذي نستعيذ بالله عز وجل في صلاتنا من عذاب القبر؟ وما هي الأسئلة التي في القبر سنسأل من الملكين منكر ونكير؟ كل هذا سيأتي في خاطره وهو يتبع الجنازة، فيعود وقد رق قلبه، ثم ينظر إلى عالم الموتى عندما يذهب إلى المقبرة، يتذكر الآخرة، فترق قلوب المؤمنين العاقلين.
Now we also add to that that the person who attends the funerals, he would ponder over the his inevitable fate, and perhaps he might be the next person who is being carried to that place. So it is for him would be like an admonition or a reminder for him that he will remember his fate, and that he will also end up in the same situation. So when he buries his brother, he would think, what if was me this time? And what are the actions and what are the actions that he prepared for that place? And for that place which we seek refuge from, in our prayers. And also the questioning of Munkar and Nakir. What did he prepare for that? And all of that, when he remembers all of that while attending the funerals, then his heart will become soft. This will soften his heart. And also when he attends funerals, he would look at the world of the dead people, and he will remember the Akhirah. And this will all will benefit him and will soften his heart.
وتشميت عاطسهم، إذا عطس أخوك المسلم تشمته، كما جاء في صحيح مسلم إذا حمد الله فشمته. عطس رجل والنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم جالس، فحمد الله فشمته، ثم عطس آخر فلم يحمد الله فلم يشمته رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، فقال: يا رسول الله، عطس فلان فشمته، وعطست فلم تشمتني. فقال: عطس فحمد الله فشمته، وعطست فلم تحمد الله. أنه متى ما عطس أخوك المسلم وسمعته وجب عليك وجوبا أن تشمته. يقول: الحمد لله، فتقول: يهديكم الله. نسيت اللفظة.
يرحمك الله.
يرحمك الله، المعذرة، الله يبارك فيكم. وما وجدتم فيه من خطأ أو من تصويب لا تنسونه، يكمل بعضنا بعضا.
الله يبارك فيك.
إذا عطس فقال: الحمد لله، يقول له أخوه: يرحمك الله، فيقول: يهدينا ويهديكم الله. وفي رواية: يصلح بالكم. هذا هو تشميت العاطس، شريطة أن يحمد الله عز وجل.
نعم. also our noble brother Abu Hatim al-Fazam, he added, and also to ask for Allah's mercy to be upon the one who sneezes. So when your brother sneezes, then you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have mercy upon him if he praises Allah. If he praises Allah, as it was narrated in Sahih Muslim, that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِذَا حَمِدَ اللَّهَ فَشَمِّتْهِ. When he praises Allah after having sneezed, then seek Allah or ask Allah's mercy to be upon him. A man sneezed while the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was present. He praised Allah. The man praised Allah after sneezing. So the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he asked Allah's mercy to be upon him. Then after that, another man sneezed and he did not praise Allah. Then the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not ask for Allah's mercy to be upon him. So the man said, "O Messenger of Allah, so and so sneezed and you asked for Allah's mercy to be upon him. And I have sneezed and he did not ask for Allah's mercy to be upon me." So the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he replied, he said, "He praised Allah and you didn't. He praised Allah and asked Allah's mercy to be upon him and you didn't. So I did not ask for Allah's mercy to be upon you." So when the person sneezes and you hear that he praised Allah, then it is an obligation upon you to say, Yarhamuk Allah, to say, may Allah's mercy be upon you. And after that, The person replies, يهدينا ويهديكم الله, may Allah guide us, guide us and you. And in another narration, ويصلح بالكم, and يعني also rectify or يعني rectify your chest and so something like that. And also our brother Abu Hatim al-Abazami said, يعني if I forget something, then remind me, because we all complete each other. يعني sometimes I make a mistake or maybe I forget something, so remind me. Barakallahu feekum.
ثم فيه حديث إن الله عز وجل يحب العطاس ويكره التثاؤب, هذا من باب الإضافة فقط.
نعم. Also to add to that, our brother Abu Hatim al-Abazam, he said also there's another narration that that Allah عز وجل, he loves sneezing and he hates yawning. Allah loves sneezing and he hates yawning.
أيضا من علامات محبة العبد لإخوانه إبرار المقسم منهم. معنى إبرار المقسم, إذا أقسم عليك أخوك المسلم وأنت تستطيع أن تبر قسمه ولا حرج عليك وليس فيه معصية, فهو ينبغي عليك أن تبر قسمه. وقد ورد أن ابنة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كان ابن لها يغرغر, يعني في آخر حياته ينازع في النزع, فأرسلت إليه رسولا أن ائته, ترسل إلى أبيها رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أن يقدم. فكان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم مشغولا, فأعاد الرسول يعني الذي أرسلته إليه, ثم قالت أقسم بالله عليك لتأتين, يعني أقسمت أن يأتي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. فترك رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ما هو فيه ثم عاد إليها. وفي هذا دليل على أنه يبر المقسم إذا أقسم في شيء لا يعارض مصلحة أو لا يخالف الدين أو لا يكون فيه تعطيل لما أنت عليه شيء يفوت به مصالح أخرى.
Now, likewise, also from the signs of the love, يعني between the slave and his يعني believing brothers, is that when he swears by Allah for you to do something, or he swears يعني upon you to, or he swears by Allah upon you to do something, then you should fulfill it, as long as it is not يعني a sin and it's not, there is not hardship upon you, you are able to do this. So it is يعني it is recommended that you fulfill his oath. If he takes an oath upon you to do something, then it is, as long as it is not a sin and it is, there is no difficulty for you to do it, then you should fulfill it. And it has been narrated that a daughter of the daughters of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she had a son who was يعني in his deathbed. He was يعني in agonies of death. So the daughter of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she sent a person to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, asking him to come to her. So the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam was busy at the time. So this messenger returned, and she sent him again to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and she said, "I swear by Allah that you would come. I ask you by Allah that you do come." So the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he left that which he was doing and he attended and he went to her. So in this is a proof that the person, he should fulfill the oath of another person, another Muslim person, as long as there's a maslaha, there's a benefit in it, and also it does not go against the religion, it does not contradict anything in the religion, and also it does not cause any hardship for the person himself. So it does not cause the person to neglect any of his affairs.
نأخذ من هذا أيضا أنه لا يكون الحلف دائما في كل أمور الدنيا, لأن الله عز وجل يقول ولا تجعلوا الله عرضة لأيمانكم, يعني الأشياء البسيطة لو استطعت أن تتحدث فيها بدون قسم وبدون يمين, كأن تقول له اركب معي السيارة مثلا, تقول له اركب بدون ما تحلف وتقسم, أقسم بالله عليك لتركبن السيارة, هذا أفضل أن يتعود عليه الإنسان, كما قال الله عز وجل ولا تجعلوا الله عرضة لأيمانكم. الآية تفضل.
And also we take from this hadith that the person should not always يعني swear by Allah and take an oath by Allah in everything that the person does from the worldly affairs. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, do not make Allah a cause for your oaths, or do not overswear by Allah, do not take oaths by Allah, do not overdo it. Meaning that the simple things, the person, for example, if you ask a person to ride the car with him or get into the car with him, you should not swear by Allah that you have to get in the car. Yes, so the person should get used to this, that not always swear by Allah or take an oath by Allah. This is better. So, and the person should get himself used to this, as mentioned in the verse.
وأيضا إفشاء السلام. وإفشاء السلام من الغنائم الباردة التي كتبها الله لنا جعل عليها من الأجور ما لا يعلمه إلا الله. جاء رجل إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال السلام عليكم. فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وعليكم السلام 10. ثم جاء آخر فقال السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله 20. وجاء ثالث فقال السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته 30. فسأله الصحابة ما العشر والعشرون والثلاثون؟ قلت 10 وقلت 20 وقلت 30، ما هي؟ فقال السلام عليكم 10 حسنات، والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله 20 حسنة، والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته 30. يعني غنائم باردة تستطيع أن تحصل عليها بدون عناء، بدون مشقة. ثم إن السلام صاحبه يأتي بالطمأنينة، لا يأتي بالحرب. جاء في الحديث الصحيح عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال لا تدخل الجنة حتى تؤمنوا، ولا تؤمنوا حتى تحابوا. ألا أدلكم على شيء إذا فعلتموه تحاببتم؟ أفشوا السلام بينكم. اجعلوا السلام مفشيا بينكم، يعني معلنا دائما، تدخل فتسلم، حتى وإن دخلت بيتك تسلم على أهلك تحية من عند الله طيبة مباركة. وقد ورد في حديث حسنه الألباني رحمه الله تبارك وتعالى عن جابر بن عبد الله رضي الله عنهما أن رجلا جاء إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يشكو رجلا، فقال يا رسول الله إن لفلان في حائطي عذقا، الحائط البستان، قد آذاني وشق علي مكانه. فأرسل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لذلكم الرجل، لأنه صاحب الإصلاح عليه الصلاة والسلام، يريد يصلح. فأرسل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لصاحب ذلك العذق، فقال له بعنيه، بعه مني. فقال لا. قال فهبنيه، أعطني إياه هدية. قال لا. قال فبعنيه بعذق في الجنة، يعني تضمن وجود عذق لك في الجنة بدل هذا الذي في الدنيا. قال لا. قال ما رأيت أبخل منك إلا الذي يبخل برد السلام. وهذا الشاهد، يعني الذي يأتي ولا يسلم أبخل من ذلك المحروم الذي حرم عذقا في الجنة. قلت لكم السلام يأتي بالطمأنينة ويأتي بالمحبة، وهو من مفاتيح الجنة، من الأمور التي تجعل الناس يتحابون فيما بينهم. أطلع الشجرة المتدلية، غصن المتدلية.
نعم. Also from the affairs which the person should do to or from the signs that the person shows love to his brothers is to spread the salam. And this is from the easy booties and easy reward which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had bestowed upon us, and has a lot of reward. a man came to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said, Assalamu alaykum. So the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Wa alayka salam, and he said, That's 10. Another man came and he said, Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. So the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Wa alayka salam wa rahmatullah. He said, That's 20. And a third person came and he said, Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh. And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he replied, Wa alayka salam wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh. That's 30. So the companions, they asked him, What is 10? When he said, Yeah, that's 10 and that's 20 and that's 30. So the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Saying Assalamu alaykum is 10 rewards. And saying Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah is 20 rewards. And saying Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh is 30 rewards. Yani easy booty and easy reward which the person can acquire without any difficulty and hardship. And the salam, the greeting, or the person who greets, he comes with tranquility. And he does not come يعني, with war and with يعني, opposition. It has been narrated in a hadith that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, You shall not enter paradise until you believe. You shall not enter paradise until you believe. And you shall not believe until you love one another. Shall I not tell you about something, or shall I not inform you of something, which if you do, you will love one another? Spread the greetings amongst you. So make or spread the greeting amongst you. Make it yani widespread. So you enter, even if you enter your house, when you enter any place, you greet. Even if you enter your house, you greet your yani household and your family, and yani a greeting from Allah, which is blessed and it's a good greeting. It has been narrated in a hadith, which has been declared sound hadith by Imam Albani on authority of Jabir ibn Abdullah, may Allah be pleased with him, that a man came to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam complaining about another person who had a garden some sort of garden or farm, and he had one of his trees yani leaning towards his house. And he complained to this person, he complained about this person to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he sent a person to call that man. Because he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he rectifies the affairs between the people. And he, يعني, causes harmony between them. So when the man came, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, يعني, sell me this tree of yours. So he said no. The man said no to the Messenger. Then he said to him, okay, give it to me as a gift. Then the man said no. Then the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, sell it to me with another tree in paradise, yani as an exchange. So the man said, no. And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, I do not know of anyone more miserly than you, except the one who does not return the greeting. And this is the point yani we were looking for. That the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, I do not know of anyone who is more miserly than you, except the one who does not return the salam. So as we said, the salam, or the person who comes with the greeting and a salam, then he comes with tranquility and with love. And also the greeting is from the keys to paradise.
أما من حيث حكم رد السلام فهو سنة. إلقاء السلام سنة ورده واجب. كما قال الله عز وجل وإذا حييتم بتحية فحيوا بأحسن منها أو ردوها. يعني لا تقول له لا بد أن ترد السلام وجوبا، إنما حكمه سنة، ولكن انظروا إلى الأجور المترتبة عليه.
نعم. As for the ruling of initiating the salam, then it is sunnah. As for returning the salam, then it is wajib. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَإِذَا حُيِّيتُمْ بِتَحِيَّةٍ فَحَيُّوا بِأَحْسَنَ مِنْهَا وَرُدُّوهَا. And when you are greeted with a greeting, then return something which is better, or return a better greeting, or return a similar one. Meaning that you do not say to the person that you have to, it's an obligation upon you to greet. However, it is sunnah. If he greets, then it's upon you to return it.
ثُمَّ مِنَ الْعَلَامَاتِ كَذَلِكْ نَصْرُ الْمَظْلُومِ. إذا ظلم أخ لك في الله أن تنصره
رحمك الله
يرحمك الله أن تنصره بمعنى أن تعينه على أن يسترد ما له مظلمته ولكن قدر الإمكان لذا جاء عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في الحديث الآخر الصحيح انصر أخاك ظالما أو مظلوما قال الصحابة نعرف كيف ننصره مظلوما فكيف نصره ظالما. يعني نعرف أنه إذا كان مظلوم نرد له ما ظلم فيه فهذا من نصره، فكيف ننصره ظالما. فوضحها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بالأخذ على يديه. يعني جاء رجل ليظلم آخر ليسلبه حقا من حقوقه ليأخذ شيئا من أشيائه، فتقوم تذكره بالله عز وجل ما هي العاقبة، ما هي عاقبة الظالمين، كيف أن الله عز وجل لا يحب الظالمين، كيف أن الله عز وجل يكره الظلم. تذكره هذا من نصرك له، حتى وإن كان ظالما تنصره، أي أن تعينه وتبصره بالحق وبالطريق المستقيم.
نعم، also from the signs of the love يعني between the brother between the brothers or the believing brothers is that he gives victory to the one who is being oppressed. He gives victory to the one who is being oppressed, or he gives him يعني assistance. So when a brother of yours is oppressed, then you should give him victory and you should aid him and give him assistance, meaning that you assist him and aid him in retrieving that which was taken from him unlawfully. And this is يعني according to the ability of the person, as much as the person can do it. Therefore, it has been narrated in authentic narration from the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم that he said, give victory to your brother, whether being oppressed or being the oppressor. So the companions, may Allah be pleased with them, they said, we know, يعني, O Messenger of Allah, we know how to give him victory or how to يعني, assist him and aid him if he is the one being oppressed. يعني, meaning that we know that we try to get back that which he lost as by way of oppression. So how do we give him victory and how do we يعني, help him and assist him when he is the oppressor? So the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, he clarified it by saying that you take him by the hand. You take him by the hand, meaning يعني, if a person comes and he wants to oppress another person and transgress over him and takes his he takes his right from him unlawfully, then you remind him of Allah Azza wa Jal. And you remind him of the fate of the oppressors and their punishment, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not love them, and that he hates oppression, that Allah, he hates oppression. So you remind him of this. You remind him of this, and you also, you show him the path of of the haqq, of the truth.
أيضا من علامات محبة العبد لإخوانه أن يجيب دعوتهم، إجابة الدعوة، إجابة الداعي. مثلا دعاك أخ لك في الله إلى طعام عشاء أو غداء أو كذا، إذا كان هذه الدعوة أو إذا كانت هذه الدعوة لا تفوت عليك مصلحة، أو أنت غير ملتزم بغيرها، يعني لست مشغولا، مثلا لديك مريض أو لديك أعمال أو لديك عمل، أو فإنه يجب وجوبا أن تجيب هذه الدعوة، لأنه يحس هذا الأخ لك في الله أنك تحبه وأنك تأتي معه وأنك تجيب دعوته محبة لله عز وجل.
Also from the signs of love between a person and his brothers is to answer or the invitations when they invite you. For example, when a person or your brother invites you, your brother for the sake of Allah invites you to a feast or food, يعني a dinner or lunch, then if you are able to answer this invitation and it does not يعني cause you any difficulty and it does not cause you to miss anything which is important from your affairs, and you are not busy, you're not occupied with something else, such as that you have a sick person that to look after, or you have other errands to take care of, then it is upon you as an obligation to answer his invitation, because he will feel that you love him and that you would be with him and that you do all of this for Allah's sake.
دل على هذه الأمور الحديث الذي في الصحيحين، صحيح البخاري ومسلم رحمهما الله، عن البراء بن عازب رضي الله تعالى عنه قال: أمرنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بعيادة المريض واتباع الجنازة وتشميت العاطس وإبرار المقسم ونصر المظلوم وإجابة الداعي وإفشاء السلام. متفق عليه.
نعم. Also, all of these affairs, يعني there's a proof for all of these affairs in a narration which is found in a Sahihain, Muslim and Bukhari, on the authority of Al-Bara ibn Azib, who said, may Allah be pleased with him, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanded us to visit the ill ones or to visit the sick ones and to follow the funerals and to ask for Allah's mercy upon the ones who sneeze and to fulfill the oath of the one who takes the oath by Allah and to give victory to the oppressed one and to answer the invitation of the person and to spread the salam, to spread the greetings.
إضافة إلى إفشاء السلام كان من هدي النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه يسلم على الصبيان يعني الصغار. عن أنس بن مالك رضي الله تعالى عنه قال مر بنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ونحن صبيان فقال السلام عليكم يا صبيان. لنعلم أن في هدي النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم النجاة والفوز بالجنة ورضا الله عز وجل والنعيم المقيم، فلنتبع هديه عليه الصلاة والسلام. ثم إنه تزرع في الطفل أو في الصبي إلقاء السلام ويشعر منك باحترامه وتقديره وأن له مكانة لا تتجاهله كونه صغيرا. فانظروا إلى هدي النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في هؤلاء الفئة من الناس من المجتمع. وقد جاء أيضا عن أنس رضي الله تعالى عنه قال كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أرحم الناس بالعيال والصبيان. والحديث في السلسلة الصحيحة للألباني رحمه الله. كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أرحم الناس بالعيال والصبيان. العيال الأبناء من ذكور وإناث، كان أرحم الناس بهم عليه الصلاة والسلام. وتعلمون كيف أنه كان يصلي والحسن والحسين على ظهره لا ينهر، وإنما هو الرحمة المهداة عليه الصلاة والسلام. ومن تتبع سيرته علم علم اليقين أنه رحمة من الله تبارك وتعالى أرسل إلينا. ثم رحمته بالصبيان حتى وإن كانوا في الطريق في الشارع يسلم عليهم، يلاطفهم، يعلمهم، إذا رأى منهم شيئا يعني فيه إساءة أدب أو فيه عدم معرفة بالأمر يعلمهم لا يمنع. كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يخطب في أصحابه يعظهم، فأقبل الحسن والحسين يعثران يمشيان يعني ما زالا صغيرين، فترك النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الصحابة وأقبل إليهما، ذهب يجري وراء الحسن والحسين يداعبهما، يعني ترك موعظة. كما قلت لكم هو الأسوة وهو القدوة عليه الصلاة والسلام.
نعم. Also to add to spread in the salam to spread of the greetings, it was from the guidance of the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم that he used to greet even the children, the young ones. On the authority of Anas ibn Malik, may Allah be pleased with him, he said the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم passed by us and we were young children, and he said to us assalamu alaykum, peace be upon you, O young ones. And we should know that in the guidance of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam lies salvation and also success and acquiring of the paradise and acquiring also the pleasure of Allah azza wa jal and the eternal bliss. So let us follow the guidance of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. After that, to add to that, we know also that يعني by way of greeting the young ones, you would show the child or you would teach the child to also learn how to spread the salam, and he would also feel that you respect him and that you do not يعني ignore him because he's due to his age. So look towards the guidance of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam towards this group of people, يعني the young ones. Also, it has been narrated on the authority of Anas bin Malik as well, may Allah be pleased with him, that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the most merciful from the people upon the young ones, upon the young ones and the children. And this hadith is in the Silsila Sahiha. And also, you know that how the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to pray, and his two grandchildren Hassan and Hussein used to climb on his back while he's performing sujood, and he would never tell them off. He would not tell them off or shout at them. And whosoever follows and reads and studies the biography of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam would come to understand that he is a mercy from Allah Azza wa Jal. He was sent as a mercy from Allah Azza wa Jal. So he was merciful towards the young ones, يعني the children. And even while walking in the street, while walking in the streets, he would play with them, and he would teach them, and he would greet them. If he would see any of them being impolite or anything which is inappropriate, he would teach them. There's no harm in this. So the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam once used to, he was delivering a sermon. He was delivering a khutbah, and the companions were sitting. And then while he's on the minbar, he saw his two grandchildren, Hassan and Hussein. They were still young. They were walking between the people. They were walking between the people, and they were falling, tripping over. So the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he came down and he stopped his sermon, and he went to them and he picked them up. This is from his mercy sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he left the admonition that he was delivering, and he went and he collected his grandchildren. So he is our role model and our example.
هذه فقط تذكير, والله عز وجل يقول وذكر فإن الذكرى تنفع المؤمنين. يعني من أراد منكم أن يقرأ سيرة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كيف كان مع أهله, مع أبنائه, مع صحابته, مع أحفاده, فلينظر إلى سيرته عليه الصلاة والسلام وليتبع النهج, لأن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم هو القدوة, هو الأسوة. أسأل الله تبارك وتعالى أن يرزقنا الفقه في الدين, وأن يرزقنا أن نتبع منهج رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في كل ما نأتي ونذر, وأن يغفر لنا ما قدمنا وما أخرنا وما أسررنا وما أعلنا وما هو أعلم به منا, هو المقدم وهو المؤخر, لا إله إلا هو. وصلى الله وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.
So this is our teacher and our brother, our noble brother Abu Hatim al-Abazam. He said, so this is just a reminder, and Allah Azza wa Jal, he said, and remind, for indeed the reminder benefits the believers. So whosoever wishes to read the biography of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and study it, how he used to be with his family, and how he used to be with his children and his grandchildren, and also how he used to be with his companions, then let him study the biography of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and follow him, imitate him, because he's the example and he's the one we should imitate, and he's our role model. I ask Allah Azza wa Jal to grant us understanding in the religion, and also to allow us to give us success in following the guidance of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and to forgive that which we committed previously and that which we were about to commit, and also that which we which is hidden from our actions and that which is made publicly. And sallallahu alaihi wa sallam.